Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast on a Wednesday. This should have come much earlier. I apologize. It should have been Monday, but I couldn't record. It should have been Tuesday. I couldn't record. It's my fault. Diego Lorin has no blame at all here. It's my fault. I'm sorry. We're 2-3 days late, and I don't know if you guys remember, but there was La Liga like 2-3 days ago. I know like 2-3 days in football is a long time. It's in like... the cycle moves so quickly. We're already talking about international break. Endrick playing for Brazil. We're talking about Deco. We're talking about Deco's quotes recently about Victor Roque and other things. We're talking about Javier Tebas going at it, taking the guns out for Florentino, responding to Florentino's General Assembly speech. What we will remember, Diego? Real Madrid beat Valencia 4-0. And it was beautiful football. We remember those wins. No one will remember Barcelona's win. No one will remember that ugly football. But Real Madrid 4, Valencia 0. Did you see that? Like all those possession, all the short passing, all the beautiful possession that Real Madrid had. The passing, Johan Cruyff dancing in his grave watching that masterclass. Everyone will remember that, but no one will remember the ugly one that Barcelona had. Do you agree, Diego? Do you agree?
Again, coming at me with this tone of hostility, firing shots, dude, right off the get-go, and I thought we were going to have a pleasant conversation. Why you got to put me on the back foot like that? Yeah, the win was ugly, and yes, you had a nice win, and we not just...
We didn't have that much possession, actually. I think Johan would be disappointed.
Okay, well, anyways...
Well, you know what I do?
How's your week going, buddy?
Great. You okay? How's your week? How's your week going?
Yeah, it's going good. It's going good. Keeping busy, you know. I'm to be honest, I'm still kind of like basking. Is that the right word I want to use?
Basking, yeah. In sunshine,
in the thrill of Friday's podcast. Mm. I think that was, yes. You know, you and I both agree that, I mean, if not the best, one of the best podcasts that Churros has ever done. Hugely enjoyed it. I'm happy to see that our patrons enjoyed as well. Mm. And, you know, I should put out more snippets of that episode because it was an hour or nearly an hour and a half, hour and 20 something minutes. Orlandi was very generous with his time and just giving fascinating answers. Anybody that hasn't listened to it, go over to Patreon. And, you know, Churros y Tacticas, Patreon page / Churros y Tacticas to check it out, listen to it, watch it. It was a fascinating conversation with a great guy, but a great football mind as well. And I want to do more, man. It just made me hungry for more. I kind of pitched it to you. I guess we could kind of informally announce it. Churros e invitados. As a kind of like new, what do you call it? Segment, series, I hope we can do many episodes. But yeah, I kind of put it out there. I don't know if you saw the tweet. I would like to hear from the community, see who they would like us to get on. I invite everybody to participate, be as wild and as ambitious as you want. I think eventually we can get anybody. And right now, you know, we're going to continue. I would like, I had somebody in mind. I don't know if you want to, you know, speak about it on air. But I have a string of people in mind, but I would like to keep this going. And if you don't want to miss out, go over patreon.com/churrositacticas because they're our best podcasts that we're going to be putting out. And there's much more to come.
Yeah, I thought the Friday show, like if you're not a patron, I think you probably missed the best episode we've ever done on Friday. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I know a lot of people tune into Churros y Tacticas to see us talk shit, but every now and then, Diego and I put our big boy pants and we have like intellectual discussions, and we talked everything from the use of data and analytics and scouting and La Fabrica, La Masia, different football philosophies, identities, Xavi, so many other things, and who better than Andrea Orlandi to join us and help us do that, because he's brilliant. I mean, obviously, the fact that he used to play for Barca and Brighton and Swansea, but now, you know, one of the most respected analysts on TV, whether it's DAZN or La Liga, he has his own scouting agency now that that's tremendous yeah. work for. So it was awesome. I urge everyone to go listen to it. Yeah, more guests, definitely. I think it's something that we have to do. I mean, we've been turning away so many guests. Like, Sergio Ramos has tried to come on, Messi, Cristiano. We're like, you know what, guys? Unless you're, like, Kim Kardashian-level famous, we might have to veto you out here. And but your time will come.
Somebody said, get Gabi and Ceballos to come on. That would be fun.
That's great.
That would be in Spanish, though, because I don't think they... I might be underestimating.
They don't have to speak players. I don't Spanish know if speak to fight. English. We just put them in a room and give them each a weapon of choice.
Imagine a long form podcast that could get two players on or athletes that have a genuine dislike for each other. I say that, but then again, you know, supposedly they hashed it out or they talked it out. They're from the same goddamn pueblo, for crying out loud, or nearby pueblos. And
I mean, they're also teammates,
but it would be fun. Could you imagine? Do you think we'll ever get to see Jordan and Pippen on, like, you know, I don't know, a podcast?
No, because I think Jordan podcast. Is just too secretive with his life. He doesn't appear on any TV, does nothing,
right?
So,
Or maybe like a docuseries where him and Scotty sit down. I could see a Last Dance, 12 episodes of just Jordan and Scotty hashing it out or talking it out and then talking about why. Like, I would like to hear from Scotty why he has such a profound dislike, not to say hatred, towards Michael Jordan. You know, one of the things that was so startling from the documentary, Kian, was when it came out and was admitted by Scotty himself. He didn't. I gotta word this, you know, the right way. He didn't give his condolences to Michael Jordan for the passing of his father out of spite, basically. You know, he didn't go up to Michael Jordan, and not until much, much later, if ever. I mean, and again, this was admitted by Scottie Pippen himself. He didn't give, didn't put an arm around Michael Jordan, didn't say sorry, didn't give his condolences out of sheer spite already at the time. Like, you know, the man's envy of the greatest of all time runs deep, man. Like, can you imagine if your father passes away and, like, your main dude on a team, who Michael Jordan has always been super generous to. That's another thing. When have you ever heard a Michael Jordan interview and him not give praise to Scotty right off the bat, pick him as his number one team, say, I would never win any championships if it weren't for Scotty, advise him to sign that deal, try to get Scotty more money as well during his playing time, all this stuff. He's always been like a big brother to Scotty, and all Scotty's ever been is a little bitch, man. Hateful.
Yeah, that's why I think with this particular one, the feud is only one way. I don't think Jordan feels like that kind of pettiness towards Pippen, the way Pippen does towards Jordan.
Pippi.
Yeah, like I think Jordan is, you know, not has said nothing but good stuff about Pippen publicly. I don't know, like behind the scenes, privately, I don't know if there's a different feeling.
He even said publicly that he doesn't condone this relationship between his son and Pippen's ex-wife. I mean, you know.
I forgot about that, yeah. Well, look, we saw Shaq and Kobe hash it out publicly. The thing is, like, there is a common denominator between, like, Jordan and Barkley, Jordan and Pippen, Jordan and Isaiah, who are just, like, there's a lot of people that don't like him, to be fair.
For sure. Well, Barkley doesn't. Barkley has no issues with MJ.
It's
Charles
Jordan.
Barkley. Yeah, it was that there. I mean, you know, I'm on camp. You know, team
yeah, that's
Barkley,
true.
Team Chuck all day, because I feel like Jordan's being the petty one here, because he couldn't hear any criticism from people close to him when he Barkley is there to analyze him. In his job, in his profession as an owner in this case, which we can all admit now that Jordan ha fracasado. It's been a disaster. It's been a failure. Jordan as an owner of the Charlotte Bobcats Hornets, has not succeeded, or, you know, has not turned that into a successful franchise. Having said that, I'm sure that he sold his stake at a crazy profit anyway. So from when he took it over, bought it, to selling it now, you know, it's grown as an organization, just not met the expectations of somebody that is, you know, widely hailed and considered the greatest of all time. So
yeah, I just don't like the fact that people get butthurt like that when they face criticism. And like the thing with I'm sure that Barkley, there was nothing there that he said publicly that he wouldn't have said to MJ's face. So, like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Sometimes, like, I think we interpret feedback as, like, this, like, vitriol hate. Like, I saw this clip recently. I don't know if you saw. To be fair, this is, in this particular case, I kind of understand it. But Thomas Tuchel, he remembers everything that's said about him in the German media. And when he goes and gets interviewed, by those, like, even if it's pitch side, like, for example, Lothar Matthäus, who has been very critical of him. And Tuchel, and it just makes it really awkward in the interview. What?
Lothar Matthäus is critical of everything and everyone.
Well, that's why, like, that particular case, I kind of understand it, because Matthäus, like, genius footballer, brilliant footballer, but after his football career,
pain in the ass,
for whatever reason, was not nearly as smart as a footballer as he was off the pitch. But like, I don't know, like, just like, I feel like in those situations, like, Tuchel, like, goes and he kind of just makes it really petty, and like, he's like, I remember what you said about me. But like, as if the fact that, like, are we only allowed to say positive things in football analysis? Because isn't that what analysis is? It's like, we look at the good stuff, we look at the bad stuff, and we come to try to find some kind of analysis or answer to the best of our ability based on all the good things and bad things, and we put it towards the table, and that analysis changed. So, like, if we say something about someone that's criticism one game, that doesn't mean that forever this is the truth.
Right.
It's just that next week, those things can improve, right? And so sometimes, like, people get so mad about, like, you know, analysis if it's not in agreement with, you know, how much they love a player or a coach, or you know, it has to be if you love someone, you put a halo around them, you don't criticize them, and if you hate someone, you can be hypercritical of them. It just doesn't work like that. And I think, like, some people just get so butthurt over these things sometimes, and, like, instead of just looking at the analysis.
I mean, to put that back to Jordan, I think and we both agree clearly that he's being petty about it. It does bring up an interesting and kind of shift the focus to football. This is a football pod, and I know, funny enough, some people get irritated when we talk basketball. But anyways, we would do what we want. But to shift it back
over to
football.
Everyone knows churros is anything. You have no idea what's around the corner. UFOs, basketball, could be anything.
There you go. Conspiracies. Chabi recently, or in the post-match, rather, of Alaves Barca, Barça Leves, I should say. When asked, I don't know how this was exactly posed. Mind you, I read the statements. I didn't see the back and forth between him and a journalist. But so I don't know in what context this was said. But he basically said that maybe, or yeah, he put the question out there that possibly the team is playing subpar due to the media and the criticism that he, you know, they are facing from the media. And over the you know, this week so far, they have been laughed off, they've been mocked, they've been, those statements, I mean, from Xavi, they've been sort of pitched as an excuse, as to another one of Xavi's excuse, you know, they kind of ridicule him. First it's the pitch, now then it's the sun, the time, then it's now it's the media.
Yeah.
What other excuses does he have? Now, I think in this one, particularly, I think it holds more weight than, you know, the day or time. Or the state of the pitch. Maybe the state of the pitch has an influence, clearly. But, you know, it kind of got me to think how, and we've talked about this before, Kian, how much pressure these players are under more than ever. I mean, you know, in the days of Di Stefano Kubala, media was hardly there, was hardly present.
It was only in print.
At the games. Only in print, a few. You know, now you have the whole social media aspect.
And time delayed.
In play. Exactly. Right, and time delayed, yeah. And now it's a completely different ball game, and that, of course, has a mental impact, especially on young players. Because let's not forget that even if Ferran Torres, who has openly admit that he is, you know, seeing a psychiatrist and, you know, has moments of depression. I mean, you know, same with Eric García, many players. That this, you know, this statement from Xavi, I think, holds weight. And I think it shouldn't be laughed off as like, you know, here he is again looking for excuses. The team's playing shit and it's your fault. And, you know, your time is running up, kind of thing. I don't know. You know, how do you see this?
Everyone is facing that, though. Every big team goes through that. I mean, to chalk that up.
No, no, like, for sure, for sure. Listen, absolutely. And that goes for any team. Sorry to jump in. This is not exclusive to Barca. I do think that playing for a club like Barca, you feel there's way more pressure. I mean, we heard Orlandi on Friday talk about the pressures that Barca players are under for performing, for playing with flair. You know, it's not just about the result. And then you live in this micro, you know, this kind of ecosystem where even within the club itself, within the Culé fan base, the local press, the national press and international, look, it stacks up. So it's the same for most teams, the big teams, certainly. But seeing as this team is so young, many players are so young, I think the added pressure of media can most certainly have an influence on the production, you know?
Of course. Look, the reality is that media and fans are generally merciless with that stuff, with little regard for the human element of what people go through, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is kind of related. Did you read Fede Valverde's article in the Players Tribune?
Snippets, yeah. Yeah. No, I think, I mean, most of it. I got a good gist of it.
So you got to the part where, like, the doctors told him his son was not going to make it. And the timing of that is like directly correlated with him being really out of form. And so he describes it as like the 20 hours of not playing football. He just put himself in a dark room and would cry or just sit there like and be completely alone thinking about that. And then he'd have to go on the field not wanting to really play and completely not there mentally or physically, and put in a shitty performance. And then the fans would just boo him. And he couldn't really come out and publicly talk about why he's not playing well. And so he just felt like he was in this nightmare scenario. And obviously, thankfully, things worked out. And he goes on to say those 80,000 whistles later felt like 80,000 hugs. But, like, you know, you think about, you hear stories like that and you're like, man, we have no idea what's happening at home with these guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We never even factor that in or consider it. And quite frankly, like, we just don't know. Like, we just don't know if someone's going through something. Like, no matter how rich these guys are and how set up they are, it's not going to be easy, you know? These people still have kids. They wake up in the middle of the night. You know, they wake up early. They have lack of sleep or, you know, things are going on at home. And we saw that in the Beckham documentary, too. Like, there was, like, no real reason for the amount of hate he got, for no reason other than...
Yeah.
Basically yeah. existing and getting a red card, for example, in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
In his relationship with Posh and all this stuff. Like, just like, people are just always angry with this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so the media is no better in that situation. So maybe, I don't know, Xavi's alluding to that part of it. Again, I didn't see him say it. Like you, I don't know the full context. I just saw that Sid Lowe had tweeted about it saying, I don't know, he just kind of brought to the attention that, you know, the fact that Xavi was blaming the media. And I thought, like, well, listen, man, whether you're Manchester United, Barcelona, or Real Madrid, the media has always been this way. And so it'll ultimately come down to, are you going to blame them? Or are you going to look at yourself and see what we can control? Because ultimately, that's something that Xavi has to do. He has to figure that out. I think some coaches can deal with that better than others, and maybe that's Xavi's next, learning curve. Because there's no way, the media in Barcelona has always been this way. It's nothing new. So Barcelona have had plenty of great eras in their history, irrespective of the media.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, it's become exponentially bigger, and in this particular case, shedding a light on the younger players. You know, you see moments, for example, I really want to drill home the age aspect of it as well, because we're talking about kids. We're talking about 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, where when they want to extend a hand out to an idol, a veteran, experienced player, because they didn't pass him the ball at his command and demand. And then that player proceeds to then ignore completely, you know, turn his cheek and his shoulder to that youngster. I think that could have a grave impact. If on top of that, you have, you know, social media not on your side, if the media, local media as well, has been very critical and you read about it every day in the paper, age is a factor, youth is a factor, and the amount of media exposure and scrutiny that these players are under are greater than, you know, in the past, the 90s, 80s, going all the way back to Kubala's times. But that doesn't take away from the fact, and I think that, you know, that going back to the critical aspect of being critical, even if you want the best, you know, Xavi needs to address and needs to find a way to instill speed with the ball in this team, aggression within this team. You know, where's the depth? Where's the killer instinct in this team? Where's the creativity? Where's the urgency? Where's the concentration? Again, against Alaves, for crying out loud, it's like Groundhog's Day. I'm watching the Granada game all over again. In the freaking first seconds of the game, we can see it again, Kian. How many times have I been on this podcast now when we, you know, can see quick goals like this? And, you know, you cannot come out as a coach and point a stinky finger at the media and say, well, it's your fault. I mean, that no cuela, right? That just doesn't stick. It doesn't fly.
I mean, just like, what Barcelona season doesn't have wins like this? If you guys win the league title, will you care if you didn't look perfect against Alaves?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, well, and there's the next element. Are we seeing an improvement, Kian? And that is the worrisome part. And that is what, you know, we touched on with Andrea as well. It's like, well, are we seeing an improvement right now? I don't know. Like, and that's why I asked him. I was like, what if, you know, do you see Xavi eating the turrones? Like, obviously he will get the Christmas. Deco's come out. He said the confidence is 200% in Xavi. Sure. I am still on the Xavi Iniesta bandwagon. I'm just saying, like, if we don't see an improvement in this team, the pressure will continue to mount for Xavi. And, you know, how much will he be able to withstand the team as well? You know, the board of the directors, like, this team at this point in time cannot win the title like this, Kian. No, you know, last season was different.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, like, this is some kind of, like, psychology thing, but anytime you're down on Barca, I come to Barca's defense. And anytime you go and praise them, I have to fight you on it. But in this case, is it as bad as you guys make it out to be? Let me just put things into perspective. What was, like, I have to fully admit, I did not watch that game from start to finish. Was it on in my house? Yes, my dad's house. I was at my dad's house with the kids. The game was on, and I was helping my dad cook. Okay, we were watching it, but not, like, I'm not sitting there. Every time we looked up, Barcelona were, like, in an attacking position. What was, like, the actual fundamental issue of that game that you guys were not happy with?
No, dude, this was even you saying that we were in an attacking position seems like an overstatement, to be honest. I felt like there was just no danger being created really this time around. Not aggressive enough, not enough thought, you know, with the ball, off the ball. It was lacking completely in, like I said, killer instinct, creativity, just, you know, flair and a willingness, a drive to win the game, like to play football and win the game.
But you won, and Lewandowski scored a couple, right? Aren't those? I mean, that's a positive takeaway that Lewandowski got going a little bit. I mean, I understand the concerns that I think the problem with Lewandowski right now is that, especially the older he gets, he's just not as involved in the build-up phase. But he's there to finish the chances, right? And that's where you miss, like, for example, peak Luis Suarez. I know that's like a high standard.
But to be honest, I will. Like, we don't really look for Lewandowski enough, neither. I mean, him getting frustrated in that regard is sort of understandable as well. Because it does feel like, the balls are just not getting to him.
I guess what's interesting about this, Diego, is that, like, on one hand, like, I'm saying these things. On the other hand, you can look at, this is actually, like, a really large sample size. Because if you go back to last season, there were a ton of 1-0 wins like this, right? But ultimately, like, the results were there. It was enough to win the league. Now, you can talk about the fact that Ter Stegen saved your ass a million times. But hey, man, like, as a Real Madrid fan, I can't say that Courtois didn't do that for us a million times too, especially in the Champions League.
No, for sure.
what matters always ultimately is like, what does this team look like in the springtime or late winter? Because that's when you kind of start to see where the season is headed. Now it's a little bit too early for me, because it's very possible that this team looks way better in 2-3 months than it does now. So there's always room for that. Like, you can improve. And well, again, as we have said, how many injuries? I mean, Pedri's back now, but, you know.
I just want to see an improvement, Kian.
Sure.
You know, there has to be a spark at some point within this team that, you know, it all feels like we're playing in slow motion a little bit too much right now. The spark, the quickness, the flair, the drive, you know, just add your adjective that you want, but there's a lot of work to do, and we'll see how the players come back now after the break. You talked about key players coming back from injury. All that stuff, you know, is true, and let's hope they come back healthy. But, you know, things have to improve, man. So, yeah, sorry. Go on. You wanted to say something.
No, I got nothing. I was going to move to the conversation.
Okay. You don't sound too thrilled with the Valencia performance then.
No, I was happy. What do you mean? No, I was happy. I mean, what did I say that made you think that?
Because you said that, like, you didn't have the ball.
I was being sarcastic, clearly.
Yeah. Hey, hold on a second. That noise has just come back. The distortion sound on your
from end. My end?
Yeah.
Let me unplug my mic.
Okay.
How's this?
No, that's awful. Your mic
worse?
Is not. Your mic is no. Now it's good. Now it's good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. How's this?
Perfect.
All right. Cool. Thanks, listeners, for bearing with us. Yeah. No. I was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Mind you, I don't think the first half performance was that good. Our defense has a lot of problems. But I think it ticked off a lot of boxes that we were really, really praying for all season, which is we need Vinicius and Rodrigo to step up. And they were awesome against Valencia. And actually, it was their second consecutive really good game together. And I would argue Vinicius also, the Rayo game after Clasico where we dropped points and he got grilled, I thought he was encouraging in that game too. So it was fantastic in that sense. And also, we had a lot of really good individual performances as well. Lunin looked great in nets. Camavinga was amazing as usual. Carvajal and Fetty were doing their thing on that right flank. And it was just a really good performance in that sense. Our defense still has issues. And Valencia had three key opportunities. I think they all fell to Hugo Duro, and he missed them all. Not including the penalty, which obviously Lunin saved as well. So, wait, was that? That was a different game? Remember when I told you football moves fast? Sometimes I don't know. Like, I have to go look at my notes, like, look at a basic fact. Anyway, Lunin's been good for two consecutive games. Hugo Duro missed three big chances against Real Madrid. Valencia's XG was actually higher than Real Madrid's, despite losing as big of a scoreline as they did. But so anyways, my overall point is, despite the errors in what I said there, that our defense needs to improve still. So if our defense improves and we play like this offensively, that's good. And hey, like, three games without Jude Bellingham, we talked about Jude dependencia. Those three games, we scored 10 goals combined and won all three of them. And Brahim has looked good in all three of those as well. So that's also encouraging. Of course, the news that really punched us in the gut was Arda Güler getting injured again, just when we thought he was coming back.
Yeah. Obviously.
Oh my God. Look at you. You can't help yourself. That's disgusting, man. You cannot put a smile on your face for a player's injury. Like,
you're
that.
Making me smile. No. I did that. Come on.
Unethical.
Mescun. Dude, no.
Unethical.
You cannot blame a Güler for smiling, at least. You know what's really funny as well, before we move on to more serious topics? the whole Joao Felix situation, you know, if anything, he's been, sorry to shift it back to Barca real quick, but you realize that Barca is going to have to negotiate Joao Felix with who? The transfer. Because obviously he's not going back to Atletico. I mean, just the other day, did you see Diego Simeone?
Well, yeah, that's obvious.
They asked him about Joao Felix, and he's like, he's you know, the people, the Atletico people don't like him. So, I mean, he's helping.
Just closing the door. He's burning the bridge.
Completely. Like, so he's helping us there. I do appreciate Diego for coming clean and knocking a few mils off of the transfer. But do you know who Barca have to negotiate the transfer with? That's the point I'm coming to. You don't know? Have you not seen the news?
His agent?
Okay, it's old news. No.
Who?
Matteo Alemán. He's since a few weeks become Atletico sporting director.
Now he's going to give you guys freebies now.
As if. Matteo Alemán.
Come on, man. That guy is Kool-Aid through and through. Just because it was a little bit of falling out, you don't think he's going to want you guys to succeed?
Dude, he's a pro. Well, I hope on a personal level. I hope he does throw us a couple of bones. But, you know, a couple of millions of bones. But
listen, man. Atletico has been doing
working for Atletico. Atletico hate us.
No, stop. Atletico does you guys favors every year.
As
every
if.
Year, they take Memphis Griezmann. Off your hands.
Rubber.
They give you Griezmann, and then they take
gave
him
us
from
Arda
you,
Turan, like as if Arda Turan came for free. As if Arda Turan came.
Another one. Who else?
Useless.
This is endless.
Crazy.
They took Villa from you when he was
like for free. We give them these players for free. They don't even buy them from us.
Unreal. Yeah, that's going to... My prediction is they're going to pay you to take Joao Felix. They're going to be like, oh, you like Joao? For sure, yeah. Here's also a parting gift. We'll give you Griezmann back if you want him to.
Who else do you want? The Colchoneros don't like him.
But Griezmann... You guys would have loved Griezmann, I think, if it didn't coincide with the Messi era.
Yeah.
Good player.
Yeah.
Great player.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher. I mean, normally don't companies like sign like these non-competitive agreements or these clauses, what do they call it? These you know, you can't just go over to the competition and start working for them.
Well, you mean in the case of Alemanni?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alemanni.
Well, Alemanni.
What do they call it? Like non-competitive. No, there's a Y at the end of his last name, but it's yeah.
Right, okay. I didn't know that. I've learned so much language things on this podcast. It's great. Mostly Catalan stuff, which is not really practical for me to use, but I learned a few things.
It's good. It's good to know.
Well, you know, in Joao Felix's case, though, because no one wants him, it's not going to be hard to bring him back.
What? Nobody wants him. I mean, look at him playing now. Is it like, if Atletico want 80 million, Barca are not going to be able to pay for it.
Atletico are not going to ask 80 what? Million. His stock is not that high. There's no way. Mm.
But he renewed his contract.
Really?
Yeah, coming, Atletico made him renew
Why
his contract.
Atletico
literally.
Renew?
Because they want to cash in, man. They're like, oh, you're going to Barca, the team you always wanted to play for? They want to get you on the free in a year? No. Renew
contract
and
expires
then you can...
2024, bro. Oh, sorry. No, it doesn't. 2029. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, my
exactly.
God.
Long. Yeah. Yes.
What a nightmare. I mean, I still, man. Like, I don't... Well, unless Atletico... Unless, like, he plays so well for the rest of the season, and Atletico can start saying, well, he's our player until 2029. Let's put a bidding war. Like, you know, you start getting the Premier League clubs to start bidding too. In that case, then that's
Saudis.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. This whole Saudi thing is a game changer.
And Joao Cancelo, I mean, what, like 30, they're saying in the papers, like 30 mil. Barca going to have to spend some monies. We want to keep these boys, the Joao's.
what's the Cancelo situation? So it's
he's on loan from City.
Contract there expires 2027. City probably won't care to bring him back.
No.
Yeah, this is that's the thing. The thing that you guys have going for you guys, if you want to retain Cancelo and Felix, is that they seem to like it in Barcelona, and they'll have a say.
You think so?
Yeah, that'll help the case. Yeah, I mean, like, they're starting, they're playing. That wasn't really happening at City and Atletico for them, respectively. So they seem to like it there.
By the way, did you? I don't want to keep throwing topics out here. What did you want to say? I don't want to throw you off your train
nothing,
of thought.
Literally nothing. I would okay, have well, made something up case, on the spot to say.
Did you see the Rubiales video?
No.
The desperate Hail Mary trying
what did
to.
What did he do? Do I want to know what he did?
It's awkward, man. I'm not going to lie. It's an awkward one. But it he's leaked or put out a video of him in the locker room before. I don't know if it's the final. I don't know if it's against Sweden. I don't know. But it's him giving the women's team a pep talk in his style, in his classic Rubiales style. And he's going, like, he's talking to Aitana, he's talking to Alexia, he's talking to Olga, and he's like, hey, he's like, Olga, like, answer me this question. Which team, like, ¿qué equipo tiene más o varios? ¿Ellas o nosotros? You know, which team has bigger ovaries? Yeah. Ovaries? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've seen the like, video.
Yeah, Olga's like, nosotras. He's like, ¿qué? Nosotras. ¿Qué? Dilo alto. Nosotras. He's like, sí, sí, sí. Alexia, ¿qué equipo, qué tiene mejor equipo? Ellas o nosotras. Alexia, nosotras. ¿Qué? Nosotras. ¿Cómo? Like, I don't know, it's just weird.
I'm embarrassed listening to this. I didn't even see the video.
It's a weird exchange where you can just kind of feel... It's cringy. You feel the awkwardness.
That feels like it's doing his making it worse. That doesn't sound like it's helping at all.
Yeah, I don't know what possessed him to put that out and be like, see? What?
I don't think it'll go down very well if I go to my local women's team here and ask them who has the biggest ovaries. I think I'd be put in prison right away. I don't think that's helping his case.
I think that'll be very woke, if anything. Jesus. I mean, here's Rubiales asking, who's got the bigger ovaries? He's like, do we have the bigger ovaries? Or do they? Look at these ovaries. Look at them. Those are not ovaries. Those are not ovaries. That's what he was saying on the balcony. He was like, look at these ovaries. These ginormous ovaries. Put that away.
I haven't seen the video, but I declare Rubiales canceled forever now after hearing that.
I love it because you know that at some point in time in the Rubiales camp, whether it's himself or somebody close to him, came across that video and was like, oh, yo, dude.
This is a good idea. Let's publish this.
Dude, I got it. You're back, baby. You're back. Put this out there. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, put it out. There, I'll shut them up now.
What a weirdo, man.
It's weird. It's weird. It's a weird... You should watch the video.
I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are we watching any of the Spain games? Spain versus Georgia on Sunday. What a banger.
Oh, another banga. Baby, calm down.
I'll tell you what I'm watching. Is it today? I'm all in on South America these days. I'm like, Europe is like not as fun.
It is not. No?
Tomorrow, in my calendar, Argentina versus Uruguay, Colombia versus Brazil. Can't wait. You guys will be sleeping at that time.
Yeah.
So well, much we'll fun. See. So much fun, these South American games, man. So much fun. They're just the so much passion. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
I will watch. I'll catch the Spain 7-0 highlights against Georgia the day after. Carvajal crossing to Jose Lu for a couple goals. Gavi scoring two or three.
Yeah. Well, I'll still watch it. I gotta watch it. You can count on me to watch it. Okay. I'm having a look to see who Oranje is playing. Who do we got? Nederland, Ireland.
What's the Netherlands situation?
Walter, must win. No, so, we're good. I think we're top of the group C. So,
no, Francis, you're in group B.
So what am I talking about? What is this? What am I being?
Are you
given?
Looking
this
at is a different sport? Bullshit. You're second in group B, tied with Greece, who has the same amount of points as you guys. France is first.
Here we go. Group B, second with France, yes. So, it's been an ugly-ass qualifier so far. Not going to lie, that win against Greece was ugly. But we need a draw. We need one more point.
Yeah.
Is that right? I think so. And it's
against Ireland. You have a game in hand. Fourth. That's huge.
Yeah, we have, exactly. So we have to play two more games of these two. If my math, quick maths, I think a point will do. And it's against Ireland and Gibraltar. So Gibraltar, who have lost all their games, as they do, those fine folks. And Ireland, who have won two, lost five. So, I'm thinking even Ronald Koeman's Oranje can get this job done. But call me a crazy-ass optimist.
Can I give you a more interesting scenario for a different team?
Please.
So Italy is third in their group, 3 points back of Ukraine with a game in hand. Their game in hand is on the 17th versus North Macedonia, which they'll probably win, although I think that's the team they lost against, right? With that last minute.
Holland?
Italy. I'm switching, lanes here. Italy.
Yeah.
Focus here, Diego. Focus.
No, sorry. I just clicked back and I'm seeing North Macedonia, the Netherlands. But it's from June 21st.
What are you
2021.
Doing? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
About?
Google's fucking with me right here. And I'm like, we won 3-0. All
the right, Netherlands go on. Football and they are in Group B of the Euro qualifying.
Go on. I got you.
Now,
go.
Switching topic to Italy, is third in their group, 3 points behind Ukraine. And they have a game in hand. Their game in hand is against Macedonia, which they should win, which sets up Ukraine and Italy potentially tied on points on the last day, and they play against each other on November 20th. So November 20th, pencil it in.
That's the date.
Churros.
Got it circled red.
Churros y pasta. No, pasta y tacticas. What's the churros equivalent? Red. Gelato?
North Macedonia, the Netherlands. Gotcha.
In women's volleyball 6 years ago.
Hey, some more breaking news. What did you want to know? What's pasta? What?
What's the churros of Italy? Is it gelato?
Yeah. It's gotta. Florentino Perez and Joan Laporta have both left the board of directors of the Spanish Football Federation. Breaking news.
I didn't know that Florentino was even on that still. I thought he peaced out. Okay. I don't feel very uninformed about this topic right now, but...
Yeah. I'm just trying to skim over it now.
Jose Felix Diaz, Laporta, and Florentino Perez have decided to leave the board of directors of the Spanish Football Federation. You know, we've been waiting for... Rubiales got canceled. Great. When's Tebas getting? Someone's got to do some digging on Tebas's private life.
Well, I would like the digging into many important people's affairs.
Laporta?
No. Not interesting enough.
If you're talking about Florentino, he's an open book. You won't find anything.
Yeah, exactly.
He's stainless.
We got to dig.
Stainless and pure. Sent by God.
All right, he's
incorruptible.
Let's call Infallible. It a day because you're going to set me off. You're going to set me off. I recently came across something that, you know.
Are you still,
let's leave that. Still let's leave that Mr. for Satan? Another pod. What are you talking about? Of course, I follow Satan. Satan is a blessing to the Kool-Aid fan base, and I would invite everybody wholeheartedly to the
Kool-Aid
to,
fan base, bro. You're
well. Thank you.
You actually talk about some football. Satan doesn't talk about football. He only talks about all the referees.
He absolutely
stuff that
does. He's a great football analytic mind. He has a great footballing mind.
Okay,
he really does. Seen it.
All right. Get him on the pod. Can you get him on the pod? Do you know, does he, is he like, what is, who is like?
No, he does no collaborations whatsoever. I would love to talk to him. I really would. But he doesn't, he doesn't do any collaborations.
Does he work for someone or he's independent?
Independent. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What about Zona Blaugrana? Can we get him on? He is so not biased.
I don't know Zona. So.
Yeah,
I do not know. I mean, I know. I follow his Twitter handle, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's again information that needs to be available and out there.
I don't like that stuff. But I don't know if he's. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just don't know who Thona is.
Yeah, so I don't like that kind of content. But I will say there's a creator I found, a Barca creator that I really enjoy. He's called The Purest Football. I found him on YouTube. I don't know if you come across his work. He puts some amazing tactical
videos. I did
videos.
A Spaces with him.
Did you? He's awesome.
Yeah, so we were on this Spaces
together.
I'd love
to have him on the podcast.
Both speakers. Yeah. Let me look him up.
I really enjoy his tactical videos. He's on YouTube.
It's true. Is he? I didn't know about that. I just know about his Twitter.
He puts out brilliant tactical videos, breakdown of Barca's matches. That's why I enjoy it. He talks about football. Very good. Very good stuff.
It's true. I'm happy you remind me because it was a good Spaces as well. We talked about this. I don't do that enough. Yeah. We both follow each other now since
More,
that Spaces.
Do Twitter audio Spaces. The reach is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I will do Twitter audio Spaces. The problem with it is you can't post you can't record it and then post it like as a podcast after. You can it gets posted on Twitter after, but you don't have the actual recording, like a file on your computer, for example. It just gets on Twitter. That's the problem with but the reach is insane.
That's kind of cool as well. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The reach is crazy. All right.
I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah.
Just get him on.
Bring him on.
Cool.
Could be even
All right,
like
dude, I gotta get out of here.
Before a classic or something.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Again, Diego and I put out a killer podcast with Andre Orlandi on Friday, patreon.com/churrositacticas. And are we back Thursday or Friday for a mailbag?
Go. Watch it.
When's next Patreon edition?
Tomorrow or Friday, I guess.
Is tomorrow Thursday? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, one of those days, Diego and I will post for our patrons as well. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Diego, good chatting.
Peace. Peace in the Middle East.
Sports Social Podcast Network.